How to make a Balearic sling. This is the second part of the three-part series on the Balearic sling, and in this video I will cover exactly how I make a Balearic style sling, including the methods that I use to make the final product as practical, comfortable, and as long-lasting as possible. If you haven't seen the precursor to this video, the Balearic sling, I recommend you do so first, as it discusses the reasoning behind its design features, which will not be covered in this video. The first step is to choose a material for the main body of the sling. Sisal or pita are popular agave fibres for Balearic slings. But outside of countries where it grows, the easiest way of obtaining fibre is often by extracting it from single ply twine. The material is decently durable, but it's sensitive to humidity, so it's more suited to dry climates. Hemp and linen are also suitable materials, and can be found most often in the form of weaving yarns. But sometimes loose fibre is available from some suppliers. It's stronger than sisal, but is also sensitive to humidity. But that can be eliminated if the completed sling is waxed. Esparto, the most traditional and in my opinion best natural fibre for Balearic slings, unfortunately also happens to be the most difficult to find, but can occasionally be sourced from some Spanish suppliers. It's durable, has excellent grip, and is insensitive to humidity. A very suitable synthetic material that I've come across is polysteel. Sourced as a rope, it can be easily unravelled for braidable fibre. It's completely waterproof and very durable, but doesn't provide quite as much grip as the natural fibres. Synthetic hemp somewhat combines the best of both worlds. Also sourced as a rope, its yarns are more difficult to work with compared to polysteel, but its tactility and grip are more akin to natural fibres. While also being waterproof, another bonus is that the surface can be gently melted, fusing the fibres together. This makes it impervious to typical abrasion. The next step is to choose a material for the end of the sling, also known as the cracker or tassel. Now this is optional, but highly recommended, as fibres often used for the sling body are not suited for the extreme stress that the end of the sling will experience. Dyneema line is ideal, because of its superior longevity. But even cheaper fibres like nylon will last longer than a tassel made from the main sling material. Once you've chosen those, necessary items are your chosen sling material, chosen cracker material, some beeswax, and a sharp pair of scissors. Optional but highly recommended items include nail clippers, a tape measure, a couple of clothes pegs, and some superglue. Today I shall be using Esparto. The first thing I do to start a new sling is to pull out several strands from the bundle. When twisted, the thickness of the strands together is around 3/16 or half a centimetre. This is about medium thickness and can be increased or decreased based on preference. In preparation for braiding, I stagger the strands some so that the ends don't all terminate at the same time. I then pinch the bundle and turn it around so that I'm working with the longer end. Now separate the bundle into five smaller bundles. To start the braid, I take one of the outer strands and pass it over the two situated next to it. I then take the outer strand on the opposite side and pass it over the two next to it. This sequence repeats and creates a five-strand braid. As I pass the strands over, I pinch them with my thumb to hold them in place. Once I have braided a short section like this, I then rotate the braid a quarter of a turn to work the braid with the strands facing downwards. Now the braiding changes a little bit. Before I bring each strand across, I twist it outwards a few times. This is done for several reasons, including making the braid stronger and denser by locking in the fibres. In conjunction with the twisting, I also pull on each strand before crossing it over to pull out the slack, making it sit tightly and neatly. The key to an even braid is equal thickness strands with equal tensioning. After a couple of inches of braiding, the thickness is starting to diminish a little, and now requires new fibre to be spliced in. To do this, I wait until the thinnest strand is the working strand. Then, taking a new bit of fibre, place it behind the working strand, leaving a bit of excess sticking out the back of the braid. The strand can then be twisted and crossed over like normal. By turning the braid over, you can see how the new fibre is firmly locked in by the twisting of each strand. I then continue braiding and splicing when needed to maintain thickness, until the braid is 4 inches long. Then I stretch the braid by pulling both ends. Folding the braid in the middle will reveal the approximate size of the finger loop. I personally like the loop to be large enough so that my knuckle can easily rock inside of it, as it increases comfort and reduces interference. To deal with the ends sticking out from the underside of the braid, I use a nail clipper. This allows me to trim them at the surface, resulting in a flush finish. With the braid now tidied up, with the underside facing up, I unbraid the initial part of the braid that I did before twisting each strand. Now, folding the braid over, I match up the working strands. As you can see, the previous working strand is coming across to the right, so you want to make the other end match this. Once the same, lay the braid end on top of the other and make sure they are aligned nicely. Then, starting on the right side, align the strands of each braid together, merging each of the two strands into one. I give them a bit of a tug to help keep things tight. As the top right strand is now the working strand, I give it a twist and pass it over. Now, just like I did on the right side, I align and combine the strands of the braid underneath with the one on top. As the top left is now the working strand, again, give it a twist and pass it over. Always using my thumb to hold it tightly in place until the next strand crosses over. After a few more passes, the finger loop is now complete. This marks the beginning of the retention cord. As you continue braiding the retention cord, pull out the shortest fibres and splice in new. This should be done gradually so as to not create a weak spot in the cord. This also helps to retain uniform thickness. Generally, the retention cord should maintain the same thickness about its length, but a slight increase in thickness is not detrimental. However, try to avoid any decrease in thickness. If you're finding it difficult to braid freehand, perhaps consider putting the loop over a hook and braiding thus. Some find this to be a great aid in sling construction, but for Balearic slings, I prefer to work without it. Continue braiding until the cord reaches your desired length. This sling is going to be 20 inches, so the completed cord needs to be 17 inches. The extra 3 inches will come from making the pouch 6 inches long. Once the length is achieved, firmly pull on both ends of the cord to stretch it. I then tie a simple overhand knot at the end to prevent it from unravelling. I am now going to soak the cord. This is an optional step, and I only really recommend doing this if you're working with a sparto. Water causes the braid to swell and has increased pliability once dry. This is an asset for a sparto, which is very stiff and doesn't absorb much water, but for the majority of other natural fibres, this soaking and drying process can make the sling like a noodle. After submerging the cord for a while in the water, I pull it out, stretch it again, and then find a suitable place to hang it up to dry. Once it has, I get out the tape measure and remeasure it. As you can see, through the process of stretching, soaking, and stretching again, it expectantly gains a bit of extra length. Undoing the knot tied earlier, I can then unbraid the excess length in preparation for the beginning of the pouch. Once that's done, it's time to start the pouch. The first step of this is to make the knee, which is basically the point at which the braid divides into two smaller braids. There are several ways to do this, but I'm just going to show you how I do it. Starting with the working strand on the right, I then split it into two equal thickness strands. Taking the upper of these two, I give it a twist and pass it over the lower one, under the unsplit strand below that, and over to the other side. Trying to keep everything tight, I tug on each strand before the next step. Then, taking the remaining strand at the top right, I pass it over the strand beneath it, but not to the left side. With a clothes peg, I pinch off the strands sticking out to the left. Then, splitting this remaining strand in the middle in two, I twist the outer and pass it across to the right. Now back on the right, I split the last unsplit strand in two and pass the outer one across. You can now start braiding as normal. I then braid for about half an inch, then use another clothes peg to hold it. Going back to the left side, I can also start braiding as usual. When I come across unsplit strands, I divide it in two and pass over the outer one. Thus, the 5-strand retention cord should end up being divided into two smaller 5-strand braids. After about half an inch of braiding, I then peg the left side off again and unbraid the right side a little. but not all the way. The goal is to pull out all of the slack and make the transition as tight as possible. The knee is now complete, but I first pull on each braid to try and even out some of the tension. Now that the knee looks a bit more satisfactory, I can start thickening the right hand braid by splicing in new fibre into every strand that I pass over to the left. By only splicing in on the one side, I find it makes the working and finishing process a bit easier. I continue to braid and splice in new fibre until the thickness is the same or a little more in thickness to the retention cord. Once it is so, I keep it the same thickness until it is about 6 inches long. This is how long the pouch will be. I then use a clothes peg to pinch off the loose end to keep it tidy. Now I can start on the left side, which is the same process as the right, just mirrored. Making sure it's nice and tight, I then splice in fibre into the outer left strand every time before passing it across. Taking the time to compare thickness while braiding can help a lot in achieving reasonable symmetry. Now that the left side is braided to the same length, I make a point of increasing pliability in the knee by twisting each side in every which direction and bending it back and forth laterally. This not only makes the knee a little neater, but also serves the important function of closing the gap between the two braids. I then individually grab a hold of each braid and stretch it. As a result, it will increase in length a little, so I remeasure the 6-inch mark and unbraid each side to that exact length. I typically do one side and peg it off before unbraiding the other. Take extra care in making sure that each side of the braid is the same length, as projectiles can unexpectedly fly out of an unbalanced pouch. Now that they are of the same and correct length, the next step is to merge the two strands back together. The first step is to make sure that the previous working strand of each side is going to the right. This is how you know that they are in line. Merging them back together is not actually as intimidating as it looks, since all you have to do is match up and merge the strands of each side, just like making the finger loop, but with the two braids side to side rather than one on top of the other. So I grab the first two and then move them up and out of the way. Then look for the next two moving in the same direction, to the left. Grab them together and once again move them up and out of the way. Because the previous strands were pointing to the left, the next two will be pointing to the right. Pick out those two and lift them up and out of the way. Because the previous two were going to the right, the next two will be going to the left. As there is only two left going in this direction, it's quite clear to see. Make sure there is no crossing of strands between the different layers, as this will cause problems. I then tug on each couple a few times to bring the two braids together. Once they are close together, you should now be able to see how the 10 strands have combined to make 5 thick strands. giving each a firmer pull will further take out any slack. I also make sure at this point to double check that each side is still the same length. Now I can start the belly. The first step of this is to make sure that the first two passes are properly twisted from the base in order to keep it neat. I usually put my finger in between the two thinnest strands to torque them together tightly. I then bring it across like normal. I continue the braid for a few passes and peg off the loose end before going back and checking that everything is neat and in alignment. The belly is now ready for tapering. This is done by removing material over a length of about 4 inches. Until it reaches the same thickness as the retention cord. I start this by pulling out the shortest fibres first. I do this before each strand is passed across. In order to get a steady taper, less and less material must be removed from the braid as you progress. Esparto fibre is also thinner at one end, so the braid can also self-taper to a small extent. After about 4 inches, the end of the belly should be about the thickness of the retention cord. From this point on, the tapering of the release cord is much more steady, and is, for the most part, spread out along the rest of the cord. However, as the braid progresses, I will occasionally splice in new, long fibres to replace the short ones. Otherwise, I'd run out of material before I reach the end. The cord should eventually taper down to about the thickness of the finger loop, and then kept that thickness for the length of the grip. Now that the release cord has been braided, I check to see that it's the correct length. If so, I then pull hard on the cord to stretch it, removing any creep that it might otherwise gain with use. After this, I again get out those nail clippers and begin to snip off all the fibre sticking out of the braid. This time across the full length. As you can see, it does this job very nicely. Now that it's been cleaned up, the other half of the sling needs to be given the same soaking then drying treatment that the retention cord has already undergone. As you can see, the difference in pliability between the two sections is quite significant. Right before I do this, however, I again tie a simple overhand knot to prevent the end from unravelling. Just like before, I submerge the other half of the sling in the water for a few seconds. And after, firmly pull on both ends to remove any slack. It can then be hung up to dry for the final time. Once dry, it's time to finish the end of the release cord by splicing in a highly durable material for the tassel. Very few fibres can withstand going supersonic time after time. And so, naturally, the stronger the fibre, the longer it tends to last. The material I found works best for this is Dyneema Line, which is about as strong and long-lasting as it gets. I first measure out a few wingspans of it, then rub a lump of beeswax along its length. This turns the very slippery material into something a lot more tactile, that is easier to work with and less likely to work its way out of the braid. I then fold the line until there are many strands a bit over a handspan in length. The bundle is then divided into 5 strands, ready to be spliced into the cord. In order to make the finished cord the right length, not too long or too short, I start the splice in the middle of the grip, which means unbraiding back to that point. Then, starting with the working strand on the left, remove some fibre and splice in the dyneema to replace it. I only splice in the dyneema on the one side, which makes the splice stronger. Again, when the working strand is on the left, I remove some fibre and splice in the dyneema. I repeat this pattern until the rest are spliced in. Once all 5 have been spliced in, I braid until the last dyneema spliced in crosses to the right side, back to the left, and is then the working strand on the left. At this point, I pull out half of the esparto in this strand, and then pass it across. I now do this each time the working strand is on the left. After this cycle, the remaining esparto is removed entirely, again, only pulled out from the left side. At this stage, the braid is now only dyneema, and after a handful of passes, it's time to tie a simple overhand or constrictor knot using one of the dyneema threads. Naturally, this prevents the end from unravelling during use. A firm pull on the tassel ensures that it is an effective splice. Using the nail clippers again, the loose esparto ends can now be trimmed off. However, due to dyneema's strength, a sharp pair of scissors is required to effectively trim the rest. Once this is done, I grip the sling to see where I need to trim the tassel. I prefer that no more than a palm's width extends beyond the hand, as if it's much longer than this, it can whip the palm on release, and if it's much shorter, the tassel won't dissipate the whipping energy effectively. For extra security, I use a tiny bit of superglue over the splicing points to ensure that nothing works its way loose with extended use. It also gives the cord a bit of extra grip, which is always a plus. Once the glue is mostly dry, I roll out the stiffness to closer match the pliability of the rest of the sling. Now, most Balearic slings will have leather sewn onto the loop to make it less abrasive on the finger. However, it mostly depends on the material and how you grip the sling. If the sling is gripped on the middle phalanx of the index finger, which is what I use for short Balearic slings, then no covering is necessary. If placed on the middle finger, it might be worth considering a covering. And if the loop is placed to the base of the finger, you'll definitely want a cover for the loop. Two methods I use to make the finger loop more comfortable is softening the inside by sanding it with an elongated stone, or wrapping it with soft yarn. Now that the sling is complete, the final step is to give the pouch and belly of the sling a bit of extra protection where it will experience abrasion from stones. A leather covering is most popular, but I prefer to use beeswax, and I find it works just as well. I do this by holding a block of beeswax over a heat source and rubbing the softened wax onto the pouch and belly. Once I've fairly well covered the surface with a thin layer of wax, I then hold it over the heat, flipping it regularly to melt the wax into the surface of the braid. And just like that, the Balearic sling is ready for use. So far, I have not worn out a sling constructed in this way, even with heavy and regular use, with limited maintenance. As with all things, practice makes perfect, so don't be disheartened if it doesn't turn out quite right the first time. The next video will cover on how to use this sling design, the technique I find works best in conjunction with it, aiming methods, and more, so stay tuned!